To start, though, I think there's more people that have something to say, something encouraging. Steve?
Pastor, I don't know why I was given this. Coming to church this morning, the Lord just told me to say this. He put it on my mind, saying, no matter what happens, rejoice. Huh. And this morning, truth is happening early. I was listening to a song by Paul LaVoche, sang by Phillips Craig and Dean. It says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Comes from Jeremiah 9. Or the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made us, the one who saved us.
Mm.
You know, I was noticing when we praise. I'm a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
I was a U.S. Marine. We go into battle, we make noise, and we scare the dickens out of the enemy. I don't want to give an example of what we scream or sound like, but we bark like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they call us devil dogs. That's not a good name to be a Christian. But my point is this. We are in battle. We are in battle.
Yes.
We may not draw a sword, we may not point a rifle, but we
exactly.
We join the
yes. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's good.
Thank you both, Doug and Steve. And yeah, a verse that God has given me, I kind of trying to memorize it for the last couple of months from 1 Thessalonians 5, actually several real short verses, exactly what you said there. If I can remember how it goes, always be thankful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, no, the first part's always be full of joy. And then whatever happens, be thankful.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. Is there one more? Someone else with a word of encouragement? Norma, you got to come up here, okay? I want to hear it, and everyone else does too. And
I think what I want to say to you is what we all wish. We always say, God, how can you use me? Will you use me? But when he talks to us, we don't always say, okay. We just say, oh, I can't. I possibly couldn't. I don't know how. You're making yourself available to God.
Yeah.
And you had talked about going through the family services. You have a history. Sometimes we fall behind that history and say, how can God use me when I've come so broken?
Mm.
But he has rebuilt you both into incredible people.
Yeah.
And you are allowing your history to be used to help others and encourage them and love them and help them to know that God is available and that he loves them no matter where and no matter where.
Mm-hmm. Good words. You stay here too, okay? Steve, why don't you come up, because you had a word. So, and I'm going to ask, actually, I'm sorry this throws you off, but Luis and Marguerite, would you come up and pray?
In Spanish.
In Spanish. Actually, you're right. I want a little bit of it in Spanish, so that kind of ruined it. I know that you guys are friends, and these are good friends from Colombia here, and I just thought it'd be great if you would mind praying. And if you do feel led to pray in Spanish, that would be fine. So why don't we all gather around them, and you guys join us in this, and pray in English or in Spanish or however God leads you. And we just want to send them off, and we want to pray for the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for this time. You led us to be together. First of all, we want to ask you to forgive us for all sins. We want to be faithful, but every day is a different day.
Yeah.
We are trying to do our best every single day, God, because you are the most important person for us.
Yes, God.
Before to pray, yes, I want to say, forgive us and help us.
Just cleanse us, God.
To be better in your presence, to please you in everything that we are even thinking. Today, Father, we come to your presence to say how much we love you.
Yes, God.
To say that without you, there are no reason to live. Because you are the most important person for us.
Yes, Jesus.
Today, we are in your presence because you have a goal for Ken and Frida,
yeah.
Our friends.
Yes.
Yes.
You are taking them. You put everything in their heart to do your goal in Costa Rica. I know you open door, you go, and you are opening every door for them.
Yes, God.
Nothing is difficult for you, and everything is possible for you.
Hallelujah.
Because you are here, Father, and this is your time. We know that everything is faster every day. Every day we need your presence, we need your power. We need that you put, Father, your angels around us.
Yes, God.
Yes.
And we are praying for protection for both of them.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Take care about everything that they start in this job that you put in front of them to do every single day.
Yes, God.
Father, open different doors, not just Costa Rica.
Yes, Lord.
If you gonna open different cities in Costa Rica or different cities in different country, I know for you nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. Thank you for let me be their friend, and I know they have this heart for you.
Mm-hmm.
Help every single day in their life.
Yes,
thank you for Potter Hand. Thank you for. Because they are part of this church,
yes, God.
That is your church. You are the owner. Everything belongs to you.
Yes, God.
Thank you, God, for their life. And thank you because I know one more member is with them, is their daughter.
Yes.
I am praying for her too.
For Lori, yes, God.
For Lori. Mm. She go to Costa Rica too.
Yeah.
And you're going to take care, Father, about her and be together with the same goal in the Holy Spirit, because you are making everything for them. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. God bless you.
Father, I want to thank you for Ken and Frida, for the heart that you put in them to go for missions. And I want to ask you to bless them abundantly, emotionally, spiritually, yes. Financially, and that you be with them every day in their lives. And if we can help somehow, we want to go too. And gracias, Señor, porque tú estás con nosotros, Padre, porque tú los llevas de tu mano, Señor, porque tú estás pendiente de todo lo que ellos hacen, Señor, que tu corazón esté regocijado porque ellos te sirven, Señor, que tu corazón esté lleno de honor, de gloria, de alabanza, porque ellos te dan su corazón y su alma, Señor. Te exaltamos y te damos gloria en esta hora y te damos las gracias por todo lo que tú haces. Be glorified, and we want to honor you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah. Can I get a hug? Love you guys. Love you. Thanks. Amen, right? Awesome. Crystal's going to just share a little bit about Bible study this week so that people know what's going on.
We have a women's Bible study that meets on Tuesday nights, and we meet, where do we meet?
It's called Convent Park, 5100 60th Street.
5100 60th Street. It's called Convent Park. And if you want to come, come. We're going to study this book this time, Listening for the Voice of God. And just because that's just been a theme for my heart this summer. So I need some help in that. And so I just invite anybody who wants to come. We meet at 7 o'clock, and if it's a secure building, so if you get there and the door's locked, you just knock, and someone comes get you. So it's real easy. So 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, you're welcome to come, if you're a woman.
Right. Let's pray about that too. Let's just join together. Lord, there's lots of different things that are starting. It's September now, and there's Bible studies, and we just want to commit that all to you, God. We want to know you. We want to be lovers of your word, and we want to grow, God. We want to grow in every way. So I pray for Crystal, and I pray for this many other Bible studies. There's men's groups. There's different ways that we are learning and growing, and so we just surrender that and commit that to you too today, God. Thank you that you're so faithful, and Lord, I just pray too that your Holy Spirit would continue to lead us as a church, that we would know where you're going, that we would recognize that we have our own mission field, and I thank you, Lord, for what's going on downtown and for the kitchen. We just continue to pray, Lord, that you'll bring people to you. You are such a gracious God. Jesus, you said that you came to seek and save the lost, and we believe that you still want to do that, and you are still doing that. So we pray for the lost. We pray for those who are struggling in their addictions, those who are homeless. Lord, help us to be a light that can shine there, and even for people who are here today and who are wondering if there's any hope for them, I pray, God, that you would just pour your hope out upon them today, pour your joy, and it's all because you love us. And so we proclaim this morning the love of God, that you have a love for your people, you have a love for your children, and that it doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've come from, that you love us regardless of us, regardless of our sin. You love us so much, and that you just want to put your arms around us, and that there is hope in Jesus Christ. So Lord, just advance your kingdom, and Lord, may we be promoters and builders of your kingdom, and remind us of that, that it isn't our kingdom, it isn't Potter's Hands kingdom, it's the kingdom of our Christ. So have your way, Lord, and as we open your word now too, we want to learn more, we want to be encouraged by you and your word, so speak through your scriptures and open our hearts to you. We ask this because of our great Savior Jesus, who we serve. We are Christ followers. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I said I was going to put that out, although I'll forget otherwise. So, there. So we're going to open the Bibles again to Joshua chapter 1. We looked at that last week for a bit. And just as we open our Bibles, we get ready to hear God. Just a reminder that next Sunday we're going to have a baptism service, and it's going to be exciting, and I invite you to come. If you haven't been baptized, or you just really feel like you need to be baptized, you can come in the river. It's time to get in the river. What's stopping you? Why not, right? John the Baptist, he baptized in the Jordan River, and he didn't know who was coming. And sometimes when we have this baptism, I don't know exactly who's coming either. I know that some of you have said you desire to be baptized, and you recognize that as a commitment to Christ. The baptism is a symbol of the washing away of our sins. We get in the water, and we go under, and you come back up, and you're buried. You know, Paul says in Romans, you're buried with him in baptism, and you are raised to him to a newness of life. And if that's something that you're requiring, you're needing it, you're feeling God calling you to do, then I just invite you to come and talk to me. I know some of you got your hands up. Just talk to me after the service, if that's okay. And I'll just chat with you, and I just want to know, you know, if that's something that you want, we want to be part of that. And it is exciting, so just keep that in mind. We're going to have some worship next Sunday, and then we're going to hear some testimonies of the people who want to share part of their story. And then we're going to go to the river. It's just a 5-minute walk down the road here. And then we're coming back here for a potluck. So bring a salad or bring something to eat, bring some macaroni, I don't know, bring something. And it's a good opportunity for us to get to know each other. There's a bunch of people here. Some of you are new. We'd like to get to know you. It's a good way to do that. So you're welcome to come and to stay for that. And we're going to have just a great meal together. Amen? All right. Let's read those words again from Joshua chapter 1. Remember, this is a story of God's people. They were about to cross the Jordan River. They had just been in the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. Wandering around, walking around, doing the circle thing. Going through the trial. It was a big trial. But God had something to teach them, because that's what God does. He keeps teaching us. He keeps showing us the things that he wants us to see. He wants our faith to grow. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to draw closer to him. And now it was time, and it was a big whew moment. You know, yes, finally, We get to cross the river. Finally, we get to put our foot in the promised land. Finally, we get to take possession of the land that the Lord had promised to our forefathers. And this was a momentous, exciting, hopeful time. But they needed to cross the river. And they knew, you know, maybe it sounds like it's going to be nothing but fun, but they knew there was going to be a battle. There were giants over there, you know. There were the Anakites. They were 9 feet tall, right? There were people who were going to oppose them. There's going to be warfare. They needed to go across the Jordan and trust that God was going to be with them. That's not always an easy thing to do, right? You know that. It's not always easy to trust in God. It's not all, even though God says, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to give you the land, you're going to possess it. You go, yeah, but there's giants, and this river is, you know, it's at the flood stage right now. I don't know if we're going to make it across. God wants to encourage us. He did that last week. We heard, you know, those incredible words of encouragement. Be bold, you know. Be encouraged. Be strong. Be brave. Don't give up. We needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. Maybe you did too. Don't quit. Don't stop. Be strong and be courageous. I'm going to read it again. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Did you hear that? I want you just to stop and hear that again. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you. Wow. All the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You say amen? I don't know about you, but I need to read that almost every day. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. I am with you wherever you go. Right? Go take possession of the land. It's time to walk across the Jordan River and make that step. I don't know about you, but life gets discouraging sometimes. And I need to hear those words of God. And we spent quite a bit of time last Sunday just encouraging each other and hearing God say those words, you know, be encouraged, be strong, be brave, don't quit, don't give up. Even when things don't look good, even when maybe the finances haven't come together, even when you have to leave your family to go to Costa Rica, whatever the issues are, trust in your God. Amen. Trust in the Lord. There's another passage, if I can read it just for a second. These are earlier words, but it's about the same occasion when God made a promise to be with his people. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, but you'll hear how similar these words are. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2, where this time God's talking to Moses. He says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and you may increase and you may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to give to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Did you get that? He humbles us. He sometimes tests us because he wants to know what's in our hearts. Whether or not you would keep his commands. Whether or not you keep his commands. I just want you to think about those words, that remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. Crossing the Jordan, that was a formidable task. It wasn't an easy thing to do, especially when you're going with all your children and your grandchildren and you got all your animals and your flocks. And it was a step of faith. And God makes a promise. I love the promises of God. But a lot of times God's promises are conditional. They're, because God's a relational God, he wants to know us, he wants to walk with us, he wants us to know him. He says, I'm going to do this and this, but this is what you need to do. It's if you do these things, then I will be doing the things I need to do. And one thing we can be sure about is God always does his part. Amen? God is always faithful, but like I said, I often say this, he's not a genie. You know, you don't rub the lamp and get your three wishes. God is God. He created us, and he knows us, and he wants to have a better relationship with us than the genie who just gives three wishes and then goes back into the lamp. That's not God. God says, I want to know you, and I want you to be obedient and to keep my law and to keep my word, and I want you to trust me, and it's time for you to step across the Jordan. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that was a difficult thing for the Israelites to do. And probably we've been there ourselves sometimes, and I don't know what that Jordan is for you, but we have that in our lives sometimes where we have to do something difficult, or we have to go where we don't want to go, or we have to put our foot in the water and take that step of faith that is not easy to do. And some of you today are going through that right now, and you know that God has been calling you, or he's testing you, or he wants you maybe free from the addiction that you've been in, or he wants you to move into something new in terms of leading, or maybe starting a Bible study or growing in the Word. I don't know, but there's sometimes a Jordan in our lives. There's a raging river. Now, Jordan wasn't always a raging river, but at the time of the harvest, it was a pretty formidable river to go across. And sometimes we look into that river that we know we got to cross, and maybe it's a relationship, or it's something with our kids, or it's financial struggles. I don't know what your river is, but many of us have a river. And sometimes we got to hear from God when he says it's time to step out. Right? It's time to take your shoes off and get your feet wet, because here's the thing. You'll never be able to get to the promised land. You'll never be able to take possession of the inheritance that I have promised you unless you actually put your feet in the river. And yeah, you can clap for that. I think that's a really good, solid biblical principle, that you'll never inherit the land, you'll never take possession of what God wants to give you unless you're prepared to actually step into the river. And I get this picture in my head sometimes that we're all kind of standing on the river and we're all wondering, well, who's going to go first? Terry, you go ahead, you step, I'll follow you, you know, or maybe it's Chris or someone else. Say, well, who's, you know, we're all standing there and maybe we've even got our socks off and we're just about ready to put our big toe in the water, but then we go, you know, that's pretty cold and I don't know what kind of fish are in there and it's pretty scary and I've been doing pretty good on the shore. I think I'm just going to stay here. And you know what? The Bible says a lot of things about waiting on the Lord. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Right? Right? Waiting here for you with my hands lifted high. We're singing that song over and over again. It's a great song. And truly, there is a time, sometimes in our lives, I've got to be clear about this, there's sometimes when we just wait for God, but not when he's told us to do something, right? When God has been clear and he said, I want you to go. I want you to step out. I want you to walk in the water. I want you to go into the promised land. You don't need to wait on the Lord anymore. You don't need to say, God, what do you want? When God's told you what he wants, right? God's made it clear. He says, I want you to go. And you go, oh God, we're waiting here. Just waiting here for you. What should we do? Well, I said, go. Right. You know, the only time in the whole scripture, when at least I could find, when God says to his people, why are you praying? Is when they're about to cross the sea and they're leaving the Egyptians. You can look at that. I think it's in Exodus 13, where God says to them, it's the same sort of thing. It's, as you go, I'm going to separate the waters, he says, and I'm going to set you free from the hand of the Egyptians and from their tyranny. And the people are, they hear God and they go, oh God, what are we supposed to do? Oh God, we cry out to you. And God goes, why are you crying out to me? In other words, he's saying, why are you praying? Why are you praying? Go! I told you to go, just go. And a lot of times we think, well, what if I do it wrong? Like, go where? How do I do it? Like, it's, do I make a beeline here? Do I go straight? Or is there, do I have to walk carefully? And I think God just says, it don't matter. You can't do this wrong. Just go. Just take a step and then take another step. And when you're done with that, take another step. Just go. Just go. And you don't need to wait on me because I've made this clear to you. It's time to go. We don't have to wonder, for example, we don't need to wonder whether we should be sharing Christ with our neighbor or with the person we work with or the lady who lives across the hall in the apartment we're in. You don't need to cry out to God and say, oh God, you know, should I share Jesus with this person, with this fellow I'm working with? You know, I think God just gets frustrated with us sometimes. He goes, of course you should. Like, didn't I make this clear? How can I make this more clear? Go into all the world, right? Tell them about me. Don't need to wait on me. Just go and be that light that I called you to be. Amen? And there's a promise. And I love the promises of God. And I hope you'll hold on to this today. The promise that God makes is, he says, you know what? I'm going to always be with you. You're not going alone. I know the river sometimes is scary. Some of you are probably thinking about the weather today, and you're going, you know, I was going to go to the river, but boy, with weather like this, I'm going to wait till next year. if that's the case, you shouldn't get in anyways, if that's going to deter you. We're going to go in the river because it's an act of obedience and because we're called to do that. But there's a promise that God makes. You need to hear, some of you today really need to let this absorb in your hearts, that there's a promise that God's making. I'm with you. I got your back. I know your husband's in the hospital, but I'm with you. It's going to be all right. I'm with you always. In Deuteronomy, he says literally, I'm with you, and I really like this, every step of the way. I don't know about you. I love that because sometimes it seems just a little bit vague otherwise. We talk about God being with us, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I like all that, but I like it better when he says, I am with you every step of the way. You get that, right? Every step of the way. When you walk here, God goes, I'm right, and he's right there, right? I'm with you every step of the way. I'm not just off in the distance with you. I'm with you every step of the way. And the promise that he makes, the conditional statement to that promise, and you can find it if you read this again. It's all in there. I'm not making this stuff up. The conditional statement is, but you need to be faithful and you need to know my word, right? In fact, I'll show it to you. I think it's worth looking at again. That what God requires of us, and I really think this is interesting. He doesn't say, as you cross the Jordan, I want you to take a seminar on crossing rivers. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, as you cross the Jordan, it's important that you worship. Let's get the band together and let's worship for 45 minutes and then let's go. None of that. What he says, though, is this. However, you will be successful. Here's how you'll be successful. Wherever you go, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do whatever is written in it. Now, remembering that for Joshua and the Israelites at this time in history, all they had was the law. We have so much more, you know. It's not just meditating on the law and knowing the law of God, although that's important. It's the Word of God. We have this Word of God. This is the lamp under my feet, and it's the light to my pathway. And he's saying, you want to be successful? You want to be prosperous? He uses those two words, which for me are a little scary. I'll get to that in a minute. Because we hear those words in churches sometimes today about being successful and being prosperous. But this is what God says today. He says, you want to be successful and prosperous, then you better meditate. You better know this word. And you need to meditate on it day and night. Anyone doing that? Don't put your hands up because it won't look good. Meditate on it day and night. And if you meditate on my word day and night, he says, you're going to find that I'm going to be so close to you. And I'm going to lead you across that river. But you need to know what my truth is. You need to know my word. I heard a guy who talked about a study. that was just done that said that the average goldfish has 1 second more focus. What's the other word for that? Say it again. Attention span. That's the word. Thank you. That a goldfish has a second more of attention span than a human being, especially nowadays with all the different gadgets and all the different distractions that we have. And I think that's kind of humbling if you think about it. You know, we don't have time for God. We don't have time for His Word. We quickly get in and we get out of it if we're even doing it. Are we really meditating on it? Are we really memorizing it? And I know that some of you are, and I'm not trying to beat you up. I encourage you for doing that. We need to keep doing that. We need to be in the Word of God. The only truth I know is what I've learned in God's Word and in His truth. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit and led by the truth of His Word, and we'll never do that. That'll never happen unless we know what's in the Word. How are we going to know what God wants for us if we have not really learned and taken to heart what the Word of God is? Amen? And he talks about the fact that we will be successful and that we'll be prosperous. And again, like I said, sometimes I'm a little scared. I don't talk about that too much because I've been in churches, and you have too, where the preacher talks about being prosperous and that God just wants to have every one of us driving around in a pink Cadillac and, you know, just ask and God's going to give you everything you ever wanted. And most of us know that's not true. But what remains true, though, is that when we're really in God's Word and when we follow the precepts and the law and the teachings that God has given us, we will be successful and we will be prosperous according to the definition that God has for that. Amen? And what really I think we need to understand today, because I think a lot of people throw that out there because everyone wants to be prosperous. They love it if the preacher says, you know, just ask God, He'll give you all the money. You go home and your credit cards will all be paid for, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I guess I'm being skeptical. I don't think that's what God means. I don't think that's what God does. But God does want you to be prosperous and successful in terms of being a child of God and being obedient to Him. But it is not, and here's the important thing, it's not a reward. That prosperity that comes into our lives isn't a reward as much as it is a result of a faithful life. Okay? Let me try to explain that. You see, it's not a pot of gold. Some people think, well, I'm going to just pray to God and He's going to give me a pot of gold. He's not going to give you a pot of gold. I don't believe that's what He wants. But what God is saying is this. He says, if you know My Word, if you commit this to heart, if you live this in obedience, then it will naturally flow from your life. You live according to these principles. It's going to flow. You're going to be successful. You will be successful if you keep this. Not you do things and then I'm going to give you this great big pot of gold, this reward. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, no, this is much simpler than that. Just do what I say in here and you will be successful and prosperous. Your life will be a life that's got hope. If you conduct your business with honesty, if you are faithful, if you're merciful to the weak, if you're feeding the hungry, if you're caring and showing love to other people, then you will have the prosperity that God wants you to have. In other words, you're getting this? It naturally will flow. It's a principle, not a reward. Understand that? It's a principle, not a reward. Do what it says in here. The principle of that is, and you will live a life that's an abundant life, and you will have My shalom. And goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You understand that? I hope you understand that. So I'm going to say it one more time, just in case. I said it 6 times, but maybe the 7th time where you really get it. It's not as a reward, this prosperity, this success. It's not as a reward. It's not a pot of gold. It's not God saying, you be good, and I'm going to give you this pot of gold. No, it's a principle. Living out the principle that God has given in His Word, living out the righteousness that's in this Word will just result in a life where you have God's shalom, and His mercy, His goodness, and His mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You believe that?
Yes,
yeah, that's a whole different thing that maybe we sometimes hear, but it's really the truth. It really is. So, it takes courage. It takes confidence. It takes a certain amount of bravery to actually step in to the water and say, I'm going to do what you want me to do, God. I don't know what your water is, but you do. So you listen to what God's saying, even as I speak. You just listen. It's more important you listen to him than to me. But God wants you to hear him saying, you know, there's a river, there's a current. There's maybe something that's hard for you to go across. Maybe it's forgiveness. Like maybe there's a few of us here today. You need to forgive somebody. And this can be from years ago, even decades ago. You don't dare to cross that river. Maybe God's calling you today to cross that river and to be cleansed of that unforgiveness. And it's hard to do. And he looks us in the eye today and he says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Every place where you put your foot, every place is the place I've given you. You can take authority over whatever those hard things have been in your life. Whatever that brokenness is. Whatever that addiction has been in your life. You can take the steps. You can move forward. You can't believe it now. You can hardly see it now, but it's gonna be a dry path. It's gonna be a miracle. God will do that miracle, won't he? Because every step you take, he says, I'm taking with you. Amen? You got to listen to this because God wants you to get through. There's a barrier. There's a wall. There's a river. There's something that needs to be crossed in your life and in my life. And he's beckoning us. He's saying, just come. Trust me. Trust me. Be brave here. You can do this. You can. And don't look for the next person. Don't say, well, who's going to start? You know, I'm going to follow whoever goes ahead of me. Don't wait for someone to put their feet in the water. You put your feet in the water. Yeah. You be brave. You be courageous. You be strong. Trust in God. Don't trust in Crystal or Terry. Don't trust in Stan. Don't wait for them to go and say, well, I'm going to follow them. We are followers of Christ Jesus. Amen. And beside that, your river and your crossing might be completely different than mine, right? He calls you. He says, come to me. Amen? It takes courage to do this. We need to be a courageous church. And we lack nothing. Do you believe that? We lack nothing. We have everything that God has given us. There is nothing we lack. We have the Word of God. We know what His truth is. And thank God we have the Spirit of God as well. The Holy Spirit who leads us and who directs us and who guides us, right? We have the Spirit and the Word. So we can go with confidence. We don't need to be afraid. I love that word in there. Don't be terrified. It's like they're going, whoa, how did you know? How did you know I was terrified? How did you know I'm so scared? Well, because I'll tell you how I know. Because you guys are standing on the shore and you're doing this. So you look terrified, right? Don't be terrified. Take a step. Trust in Jesus. Amen? Okay, going to end with this. Three things. Three things that you'll never know until you get there. Okay? Remember, this is all about the journey. That God wants to journey with us. We're interested in trips, short trips. God's interested in the journey. He says, I'm with you from the beginning, right from the time when you were in your mother's womb, and I'll be with you to the time that I bring you home. God's interested in the journey. And I want to share with you, just for a few minutes here, that there's three things that you'll never know until you get there. Never know until you get there. The first is, you'll never know until you get to the end of the journey how far you've come. You'll never know how far you've come. Some of us, you know, we're journeying this life, and I hear it from you all the time, and I pray with people all the time who believe and who say, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. I haven't gotten anywhere. I'm in the mud. I'm in the pit. I'm just treading, you know, but I'm not getting anywhere. Where's God? I want you to know this morning that you're getting a whole lot further than you know. And that as we climb the mountain, as we climbing that vertical ascent, and as we focus on the goal, and we keep being obedient and doing everything that God wants us to do, sometimes we don't recognize that we're making good distance. And I want to encourage you today with this word that you're making good distance. But you'll never know. You won't know how far you've come until you get there, until you're with Jesus in glory, and then you look back and you go, oh, right? You won't know how long that journey is. It's like the mountain climber. They can't even look over his shoulder because he's just focusing so much on getting to the very top. And when he gets to the top and he thinks, I'm not getting anywhere in this life. But then he turns around and he looks, and there is the valley, and there is the path, and there are the other mountains that he's climbed to get to this point. You need to know this today. You'll never, none of us will ever really get it until we get there. We'll look back and we'll go, wow, look how far we've come. Look how far we've come, right? Thank you. Yeah, look how far I came. I thought I wasn't getting anywhere. I thought that I was just spinning my tires. But I tried to be faithful to God. And on that day, we're going to know just how far he brought us. The second thing that we're just not going to know, we're never going to get this, it's not going to really impact us until we get to the end of the journey, is that we're never going to understand how great the destination is until we're there. Heaven, right? The glory of God. We talk about it here. It's in the Bible, and we know that there's going to be no more war, and there's going to be no more cancer, no more conflicts, no more homeless people, no more people doing drugs. But in some way, all of that is just words until we get there. But when we get there, I can promise you this. When we get there, and when you are with Jesus, and you're looking back at that journey that you've been on, I can promise you, you're going to look back on it and go, this is so great. I am so excited to be with you, Jesus. I never dreamed that it could be this good. I am so glad I decided to follow Jesus. Amen? Yeah, you're not going to... I don't believe that we're ever going to really, truly appreciate what that glory of God is going to be like until we get there. Because you can talk about that there'll be no more brokenness, that there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more divorce. You can talk about all those things, and those are great things. But until we're actually in the arms of Jesus, I don't think it's until we're right there, and this life is over, and he has brought us across the river, and we're with him, that we're going to be able to go, I am so glad I did this. Don't you think? You're never really going to understand the majesty of eternal life, the beauty of Jesus, until we're with him face to face. And the third thing that, again, I don't believe we're really ever going to get this until we are over on the other side and we're with Jesus, is I don't think we're ever going to really understand until the journey is over how much he was with us all the way. Sometimes you and me, sometimes we wonder, well, where is God? I hear you. I pray with you. Where is God? I pray to him and he's not there. I look around, he's not there. All these Christians, they let me down all the time. Yeah. We think he's not around. We think he's not behind us. I believe very firmly one day, and maybe it isn't going to be a day very far from now, one day I'm going to be with Jesus, and he's going to put his arm around my shoulder, and he's going to say, now look, there's that journey that we've been on together. You see it? There's that long and winding road, and some days you made good progress, and some days you went backwards, Stan. Some days you stumbled and fell, but I was there to pick you up. There's the time you fell in the pit. You remember that one? Yeah. Well, guess who got you out of the pit? It was me. There you were. There you were that day riding your motorbike and you almost got hit by the semi. Remember that? Guess who was there then? I was with you when you were in labor having your babies. I was with you when you stumbled home from that party. I was with you when your heart was just torn out because of that death that was so sudden, or because of those hard things that were going on in your life, and you didn't know, and you didn't see me, but now, my child, if you'll just look back with me, you will see that I have been with you every step of the way. every step of the way. I was never not there. Do you understand me? And the times that you thought I wasn't there, I was always there. And sometimes it was a person or another Christian, or sometimes it was a family member, but I was the one who was acting through that person. I was there to encourage you. Maybe when you were in prison, you think, where were you, God? I was there. I want that. God wants that to sink in real deeply today. I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. You don't need to be terrified. What you need to do is do better than the goldfish. And meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on my word day and night. And know the truth. Know that I'm with you every step of the way. I'm faithful to you. Don, I'm faithful to you and to your children. Yes. Mark, faithful. Faithful to the very end. I will be with you every step of the way. Know my word. Meditate on it day and night. Commit it to your heart. And you will know that I love you so much. I've never abandoned you. Even when you've gone through a really hard depression and you thought I wasn't there, I've been there. I was there. And again, like I said earlier, it's one of those things. I don't believe we're ever going to truly get completely until this journey is over and until he puts his arm around us and he says, look, I was there and I was there and I was there and I was there. I was with you all the way. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your encouragement, and this is your word. We want to know your word. We want to believe your word, and we want to take and have the faith to step out today and listen to you. You speak to us in different ways, but your word and your spirit are always hand in hand. And so I just pray this morning that as we listen to your word, that you'll convict us. We want to be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that we will know if you're calling us to forgive someone, to let someone go, or to get rid of our anger maybe, to build a relationship that's been broken. God, I don't know. But we today, I just want to pray that you will journey with us today and that we will believe what you say, that you're with us every single step of the way. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you that you're faithful. I thank you for a promise that you make to us today that we can take possession of whatever we put our foot to. We also confess that we have been scaredy cats. We've been afraid to put our foot down. We've been happy to be on the other shore and just to live there. And so we confess that and we pray for your forgiveness and that you'll give us a new boldness, God. Give us a boldness to step out and to trust that your word is true, that the waters are going to part, that the opportunities are going to be there, and that we'll be able to do the great exploits that you are calling us to do. And that we'll do that as a church as well, God. There are things that you want to see changed downtown Red Deer. There's things that you want to see changed in our lives and in our families. And we've stood in the background. And it's time, God, that we rise up and that you just lead on, Lord. We need you to lead us, Jesus. So I pray that you'll enhance and you'll grow our faith, that we will be an encouragement to each other. Sometimes, Lord, we just encourage each other to stay on the shore. Forgive us when we've done that. We've just had a nice campfire and a party, but we haven't gone where you've called us to go. And I pray too, God, for the baptism next Sunday, that this is going to be life-changing. And we pray this in faith because you say it is. You say that it's life-changing. You say that when we go into the water, that we come out of the water in newness of life, and that your Holy Spirit just pours out upon us. And so we are expecting that and we are believing that, God. And we're taking all the fears away. And anyone here today who's got fear, Lord, I pray that you'll remove it and that we'll make that stand for you, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I want to follow you. And I want all my sins and all my addictions and all my habits and all my anger and all of that old life to be gone. It just goes down with the current so that I can be raised to a newness of life. Lord, we pray for that too. So we're your people. We belong to you. And we know, Lord, it takes faith to just keep going. But we also know that one day this journey will be over one day we'll be with you in a way we can't even imagine how glorious it'll be. And until that day, we just declare together that we want to be faithful to you, our Lord. We want to know your truth. We want to be led by you, God, just all the way. All the way, Jesus. We need you. We're not afraid to make that clear today. We really need you. And so these are our prayers. We've heard you, God. We hear your word. We know you want to encourage us. And we receive that today as your truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen to that? One of the things that I often struggle with is just, I guess, just being honest, but